from the book of Psalms 78. Now, God don't just say something religiously. When God says something, he's speaking to his body. Not just you in here. We have a television audience that's hearing this word. So that's why you got to understand, don't let you be right here, and then get it. When God says something, he is speaking to everybody, including me. So don't just let God say something and you just take for granted, you know, take his word for granted. I'm going to show you what happened to some people that did that. Psalm 78. Now in Psalm 78, we want to go to verse 40 through verse number 42. This is not a religious message. I look at my wife's Facebook at times, and they showed what happened to the church when praise broke out. My question was, why would praise be more important than the word? You'll hear me later. Praise never takes the place of the word. Otherwise, they were showing when the praise broke out, the man of God couldn't even preach. That sounds good, but it's not. All right, verse 40. Are you there? How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? They did two things. They provoked him and they grieved him. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from COVID. Wait a minute. Don't say COVID, does it? Delivered them from their enemies. See, we have just came through a pandemic. Now, we all know it. But it's just like, since I came through it, it's not about nothing. Over 1 million people in this country is gone. And it's not like it's not out there somewhere. Because people are still reporting that it's happening. But what we are seeing and what we are witnessing, it's the same thing that Israel witnessed, is that God brought them through, and yet they forgot God. Let's go to verse number 19 to verse 22. We'll get our subject. Psalm 78, verse 19. Watch what they did. How you know what the message is saying? When you hear what the message is saying, don't make the same mistake. And don't be religious. Take the word into your heart. We're waiting on the screen. Always waiting on the screen. Psalm 78, verse 19. It says, yea, they spake against God. Just think what I'm saying. They spake against God. This is what they says. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now just think about it. They are challenging God with their situation. I want you to hear me, because there are people who are going through some things today. Don't challenge God like, can he do this? This is what they did. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he prepare? Can he furnish? Can he provide a table in the wilderness? Then they're going to tell you something, a couple of things that God already did that did not impress them. Behold, he smote the rock. Now, you know when God smote the rock is how they got water. The Bible says, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflow. It's just like God put Niagara Falls in the desert for his people, so they could have water. And then the Bible said, and stream just overflows. So you talk about over a million people here now. We're not talking about, they had nearly 800,000 footmen, soldiers. We're not talking about, we're talking about over millions of people. And God gave water for they can drink in the desert where there was no water. Now they come and say, well, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the stream overflowed. Can he now give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? That's what hurt God. When God has done everything just to keep you here and provided for all your need, when you come down for just one thing, can God do that? What you got to be able to understand, if God did that, God can do that. I need a few witnesses in the house today. And verse 21 says, therefore the Lord heard this. That's what you got to understand. God allowed his people. We're going to put down Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to show you something. God allowed his people to go through a situation to see what they'll say. I'm talking good to you. God allowed his people to go through a situation. Deuteronomy chapter 8, just verse 1, we'll start that next. To see how they would live. See, God want to know your heart. He want to know your heart. And I keep saying, your word is you. You and your word is the same, just like God and his word. God and his word is one. All right, watch this. Can he provide, verse 20, can he provide bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was angry, so a fire kindled against Jacob. His anger was against Israel. Because this is what their problem right here. They believe not in God. That's what their problem. Why did God allow them to come into their situation to prove what's in their heart? And he showed them their problem was questioning God, that really you just don't believe God because they believe not in God. And next, and trusted not in his salvation. That was their problem. So we're going to talk about today, take the limit off God. I'm talking to everybody. It's a self-examination time. When you're going through a situation, it's going to expose you. Because first of all, God's going to find out, do you really believe? So my message once again, in all caps, take the limit off God. Now, to understand what that means is, stop questioning when God do something. Stop questioning how well he do it. Because when God did something, it was always perfected. Now, I want to get into this, but this part here I'm going to come back to. I want to fast forward, because I left off last week, and I have to bring those people into the service who was here last week, or who was not here last week. The last couple of services, I'm going back just a couple of services. We talk about how the saints got their inheritance. And I'm going to give you the verse for that. That's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 18. 17, 18, 19, you can read them together, but I'm just going to do verse 18. From the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 18, told you how the saints, we're talking about the church of God, the elect of that day when Jesus came, those people who followed Jesus Christ was called the saints. Those people at that time that Paul persecuted was called the saints. the poor saints in Jerusalem, they were the saints. We are called the body of Christ. But here in Galatians chapter 3, told us in one verse, and that's verse 18. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 18. That's on the screen. Let's read. It says, for if the inheritance be of the law, is no more promised. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. See, I need you to read. Remember what I keep saying to you? And I'm going to show you in the word why people don't grow in the body of Christ. And I'm going to show you in the word that God give understanding to the simple. To people who will go on and read his word. See, when you read his word, you are saying to God, I want to know this. God wants to give you a hunger for this. And you got to understand something, brother. Reading is eating. It's the same thing. Fill your belly. Why? Fill your belly with this word. I'm going to show you. All right? So when you're eating, you're reading. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. And then God will bring you to understand it when you eat his wisdom. Okay? Eat his knowledge. All right? Let's read again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So that's how the saints got their inheritance. Now, then I taught also about your inheritance, but I taught it as the purpose of the gospel of Christ. And I gave you Ephesians 3:6 to show you how you got your inheritance. Now, why am I doing this? Because as we go into the teaching of the word, you got to remember how you got your inheritance. And if you're sitting on a ministry that do not preach the gospel of Christ, you'll never get your inheritance. And one of them is eternal life. See, that's how much you ought to be concerned about people who go to other churches that don't get the word. That's why my wife keeps saying that. See, you can wait till they die and then you holler, oh, it's too late. You got a chance now to give them the word. You got a chance now to keep saying to them, you need to hear the word. I'm going to invite you to church. I know you got a church, but I'm going to invite you. You need the word. You're not getting the word. And you got to challenge people and ask them how you know you're getting the word. What are you being taught? What doctrine are you being taught? What gospel are you being taught? See, we got to be concerned about them now because once they're gone, they're gone. Okay, now, I gave you Ephesians 3:6. Let's go there quickly. I'm headed to my message. I believe in doing what you can for people now. When you know people are not getting the word, that's your ministry. Your job is to witness to them. You know when they're not saved. You know they're not getting the word. You can't be under religion and then get the word. The religion make the word of God not effect. All right. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. You ought to be, verse 6, I'm sorry, just one verse. Let's read it. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. This is how you become fellow heirs. And of the same body and partaker of his promise. How? In Christ. By the gospel. So you have to get in Christ. Not only somebody have the revelation of in Christ is Paul. Only somebody teach you the revelation of in Christ is Paul. Only somebody that teaches you the revelation of Christ in you or you in Christ is Apostle Paul. See, if you got a, your church is just preaching you the book of Acts, Pentecost, the book of Acts, how to get the whole, that's what's going on. See, that's what people are doing, and they're calling it salvation. No, they call it a religion. You know how it's religion? Because most of the service is testimony and praise and worship and clap your hands and dancing. They're going to give you about 5 minutes of the word at max. Because they don't know no word. See, your job is to be able to help people. You got some people in those situations that you know. This is your time to minister to them. They don't like you no way for you going to this church. So you might well be a witness for the Lord. All right. Now, let's go. How God gave me this, I gave you those two things, but how God gave me this, I was studying the word on Matthew 3:15. Let's go there. And this is what God said to me in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. And when he gave it to me, I just began the study. And then I'm going to go to the gospel. I know I gave you Deuteronomy 8. Hold on to that. Then I'm going to go to another scripture in Mark 1, 14 and 15. We're going to do these two scriptures. That's Matthew 3, 15 and Mark 1, 14 and 15. When God gave me this, I really didn't know what to do with it. I just studied like I was supposed to do. And then God began to show me that I need to minister on, take the limit off God, because what people do is, I'm going to read to you what happened. See, you know why people waiting for Jesus to come? Because they don't believe he came. And the Bible already told you he came. But they don't believe that because that's popular. That's popular with religion, popular with tradition of churches. But they don't believe it. You cannot, I want to say it again, you cannot believe Christ in you and still believe he's coming. Just think about what you're saying. Paul taught you Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter taught you he was coming. He came. John taught you he came. How you know? The book of Revelation told you. But most traditional churches, if you want to know the church traditional, find out, did Jesus come yet? That's all you got to ask. You don't have to ask, are they a religious traditional church? Ask them. Well, you can see that they still do bread on the table first. That's one way. They deal baptized with water. That's another way. And then they still believe Jesus Christ is coming. That's how you got to know. Run for your life. Because if Jesus Christ is coming, that means he has not come. The book of Revelation said he came. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, say he saw him when he came. See, churches are not believing the Bible. They are believing their denomination. And people who go in there, they believe in the denomination. That's all. It's popular, but it won't get you in eternal life. All right. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's read together. And Jesus asked and said, suffer it to be so now. Now, John the Baptist came to baptize Jesus. This was the end of the law. This is when the end of the law ended. This is what the end of prophets. Once Jesus Christ came, the prophets ended. The law ended. The Psalms ended. The Old Testament ended. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Psalms, of the law, and of the Old Testament. Christ is the fulfillment. Once Christ came, I don't need this over here. It's just like having pictures in my wallet about my wife. I do have my wife picture in my wallet. But my wife's sitting right over there, so I really don't need the picture. See, the picture is when I don't see her. See, but that's my wife, so I can get rid of the picture. I can get another picture because I have the substance. So when Christ came, Christ says he is the fulfillment of the scriptures. And yet people would tell you he's coming. He fulfilled the Psalms. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophets. It was the prophets who told you about second coming. So how could he not come? He is the fulfillment of the feast days. That's why people are still doing the feast days in the churches. Passover is one. Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. The Bible told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ is our Passover. People don't want that. They want the bread on the table. Don't bother me. We have in church. All right. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. John the Baptist. Now Jesus come to John to be baptized. Watch what verse 15 says. And Jesus answered him and said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to do what? I need your witness. Say what? To fulfill how much righteousness? All righteousness. That means from Genesis to Malachi. See, the scripture is called righteousness. Christ fulfilled all righteousness. Let me show you another one. Let's go to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. See, when God gave me this, he said the problem is they got the word, they just don't believe it. So I want you to minister today on take the limit off God. Because this is like God did everything already, and yet the church don't believe it. Just like everything that God did with Israel. Everything he did with Israel, you can watch. They sat and watched God do 10 miracles and would not come near them. And God allowed them to see it. All the plagues. And they just sat there and looked at him. The flies could not pass and come into Goshen. The flies were everywhere. They were thick, so thick you couldn't see. But they could not cross that line to come into Goshen because God's people were there. God's angels was there. And yet these people got out in the woods and said, well, we saw God open the rock. We saw him bring us water out the rock. But I want to know, can he furnish a table in the wilderness when we're hungry? See, that's why God gave them bread in the wilderness. That's why he gave them fish, gave them food quails. I'm going to show you. He had, some of y'all may not know what a quail is, but it's a round bird like a guinea, but it's called a quail. And people hunt quail, you know. So it's a bird, but it's a chicken, but it's not a chicken. It's like a guinea. He's round. It's a round bird. All right. But he allowed them to fall into Israel camp. I'm talking about just for a million people. Just think about it. And they able to eat flesh. That's what they wanted, flesh to eat. God already, when they got up in the morning time, he had bread already on the ground. All they had, just like they do snow, all they had to do is just scoop it up and take it and make. And then these people still didn't believe God could do what he do. See, I used the pandemic because we just came through a pandemic, and yet people still don't think that God can do what he said he can do. The new covenant, the New Testament is already finished. Let me say it again. The New Testament is already finished. And yet people don't believe God has done it. And everything is in the past tense. You read the New Covenant. Everything you read in the New Covenant is past tense. Telling you what God had done. I'm going to go to the Gospel of John in a moment. I'm going to show you what God already did. Already did. Write that down. John chapter 1. We're going to start reading verse 14 in a moment. Let's Matthew chapter 1 verse 14. Mark, I'm sorry. Chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. Okay, here we go on the screen. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. Are you all there? All right. Read. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee. Watch what he was preaching. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, watch why he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Because the gospel of the kingdom was only preached to Jews. Let me say it again. The gospel of the kingdom was only preached to Jews. And it was only preached during Jesus' ministry until Paul. Once Paul came, Paul was the last one to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Peter, James, and John preached the gospel of the kingdom. But that ended because grace had to come. But the gospel of the kingdom ended. When the gospel of the kingdom came, it ended the law and the prophet and the psalm, because now Jesus came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He came so they would get the kingdom. And that's who he is. But they didn't know that. All right. All right. Verse number 14, one more time. But here we go. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, here's the message, the time is fulfilled. I want you to underline the word fulfilled. Write it down. I want to give you six words, maybe seven. What does it mean when he said the time is fulfilled? The time is fulfilled. He's talking about the Old Testament, the law, the prophet, the son. The time is fulfilled for grace to come. The time is fulfilled. I'm going to say this because I know a person that's ministered on the end of grace. Let me say this to you. Grace is the dispensation that we're not in. And the only reason that grace ended in the beginning with Adam is because he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he fell from grace. So for us to have grace to end, God would have to give us law. See, grace doesn't end because grace is the original purpose of God. Why Christ came was to put us back in the grace. God gave us grace. That's who Christ is. So for grace to end, Christ got in. God's grace is sufficient. Okay. So when people say that, they don't know. They doing that because they feel like grace is this big old circuit in the middle. And after grace is gone, we're going back to Israel's salvation. Man, you are 2,000 years late. What people are talking about was right, but they're 2,000 years late. It's not going to happen. It did happen. All right. Now, you at Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15. One more time. Just verse 15. And saying, this is what we're saying. Verse 15. The kingdom is fulfilled. I'm sorry. The time is fulfilled. All right, now write the word fulfilled down. Let me give you a little definition. The time is fulfilled. I'm going to give you, just write down, number one, is concluded. The time is concluded. That's what fulfilled. When this what happened. Accomplished. Number one, concluded. Number two, accomplished. Number three, complete. Number four, finished. Number five, to bring to an end. Number six, make perfect. See, when he said the time is fulfilled, he's talking about what he did. Remember, he told John the Baptist, it suffices us to fulfill all righteousness. He came to fulfill. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that's what I thought I'm going to be doing, just teaching that he came to fulfill. Let me show you one big one. Luke chapter 24, 44. They're all in one verse. Luke chapter 24, 44. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, and verse 44. See, I hate to see people go to church, and they believe what the pastor is doing, and they don't realize it's for your life. That's how much you believe in a doctrine, the gospel. When you go to a church, it's for your life. Because if that person preaching you the wrong thing, you're going to die and go to hell. Because it's for your life. So it's worth you stopping, taking time out and examine and make sure you are in the faith and not in religion, tradition of men. Because if man started it, it's religion. I can't say it enough. I don't care what the name of your church. If man started that church and it's not the gospel of Christ, there's only one gospel in the Bible. See, I won't be teaching on that coming up. There's only one gospel in the Bible that God gave you that saved you, and that's the gospel of Christ. And yet, look how many that you don't hear anything about the gospel of Christ. People don't preach the gospel of Christ. They preach their denomination. They preach what their denomination got. Them people sitting up in there waiting to die and go to hell. Our job is to stop that. And the only way we can do is get the word out. That has been my assignment from day one. Get the word out. All the DVDs and the videos and the tapes and the CDs, all those things that we are doing, that's our purpose, get the word out. But nobody can get it out like us. All right. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44. Are you there? Let's read it. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things, I want you to keep hearing the word, all things must be what? How many things? That means from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus came to fulfill all things, and I gave you what fulfill means. He came to conclude. He came to accomplish. He came to complete. He came to finish. He came to put an end to. He came to make perfect all things. Can somebody give him a big hand clap of praise? And then he's going to tell you what the things were. That's what I like about God. Verse 44, and he said to them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written. Do you hear that word, were? It didn't say is, which were written in the law of Moses, which were written in the prophet, which were written in the psalm concerning me. All of this has been fulfilled. Why? Because that's what he came to do. All right. Now, let's show you another one. I'm Matthew 5, 17, 18. I'll give you one more. Matthew 5, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 8. Matthew 5. See, everything Jesus did was to fulfill Scripture. Let me say it again. Everything. So when you go back, I can show you that. May I minister on this again, finish next week or whatever, but everything he did was to fulfill Scripture. I'm talking about, I don't care if, I'm going to show you when they put the vinegar at the cross, the Scripture said that is what would happen. When they nailed him to the cross, the Scripture said that's what will happen. Even the very day, everything, he was fulfilling the Scripture. Everything Jesus did from the time he came to the time he left was to fulfill Scripture. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Read. Think not, here we go. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to do what? I came to fulfill. I come to complete. I come to put an end to. Do everybody understand? I come to take this away by fulfilling it and putting you into the dispensation of grace. I come to end it. See, you got to understand, it's an awesome thing if you was under the law and then the person came and told you, I come to end the law. Now, you got to understand something. When you read, I'm going to say this for you can read this, Leviticus chapter 25. I want you to read that because the book of Leviticus chapter 25 told you that that was the year of Jubilee. So when Jesus Christ came, he came to bring in the year of Jubilee. But Isaiah 61 says, let's just show you Isaiah 61 for you can know where it is anyway. Isaiah 61. This is what his ministry was when he came. Isaiah chapter 61. See, all those books right there I'm going to be talking about in this message. Isaiah 58, 59, and 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. When you get there, say amen. Isaiah 61 and 1. Here we go. Read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He's telling you why he came. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Remember, I told you whatever he did, the word did. Whatever the manifested word did, manifest in the flesh, whatever Jesus did in the flesh, the word does it reveal. But you have to preach to reveal word. And that's the gospel of Christ. All right, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive. That's what Galatians 5:13, that's what grace did, right? Liberty, right? And the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. See, that sound like Paul, Acts 26:18, right? Because that's what God came to do. Here it is, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, everybody go free. See, you got to understand, if you ever watched Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was in love with a young girl, but that young lady, family owed, and when you owe somebody, they could take you and have you as a person that worked for them until you pay the debt. So Jeremiah, the girl he's going to marry, the daddy, all had to work for this man for 7 years until the next Jubilee came every 7 years. Then they could go free. See, that's what you got to understand. That's how it was then. So everybody that owed somebody, all debt was paid when Jubilee came. So that's why Jesus said he had come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Ain't that something? He came to preach the year of Jubilee and vengeance of our God to comfort all those that mourn and to appoint unto them that mourning Zion, to give them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus came to set all men free. That's what he came to do. He came to put an end to the law. He put an end to slavery. He put an end to the law. He put an end to having servants, slaves. That's what he did. Everybody can go free. If they were serving somebody, I don't care for how much debt, all debts were paid when Jesus went to the cross. Can somebody get the Lord a big hand? See, but the key is, we are the only one that can tell people. And we can't tell them no louder than the way we live. That's what dampens our security. It's when we live against the word, and then we try to tell people what the word says. You got to be one with the word. All right. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Finally got there. From the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. And from here, whatever I gave you, did I give you something else? John 1:14, that'll be that one. And then we're going to give you one more to close out the day, and that's going to be Genesis 18:11-14. We're going to have Abraham to testify. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Watch what God told them he did. Because you got to understand, when God allow you to go through something, you must understand that God want to know, are you going to murmur and complain, or are you going to give him the praise and the glory? Are you going to trust him through it? Because you are definitely going through it. But are you going to trust him through it until you get to it? That's what God want to know. See, it's an awesome thing for them to have to go through the wilderness, but a lot of them didn't make it. Only those that believed God went through it. And they got to the other side and they were able to say, I made it. But the way they made it was believing God, and it's not going to change. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Are you there? Let's read together. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live. That's how they had to do. They had to keep the commandments just to live. And multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And thou shalt remember. This is what I'm saying to you. You just came through a pandemic. Don't just take this for granted. Every day you get up, you ought to thank God, because you didn't really have to be here. You could have come in contact with somebody. How many in this house experienced having COVID? Raise your hand. Look at the different people. But you lived. But God brought. A lot of folk had COVID. They can't raise their hand. They dead. But you had it, and God brought you through it. Come on, let's give the Lord praise in this house. You got to understand something. We got, how many nurses we got in here right now? Nurses, you're nurses. One nurse, two nurse, three nurse. How many understand what I'm saying? How many people y'all saw die? Many, many, right? And I'm telling you, they had so many people dead in New York. I'm just going to say in New York because that was on TV. Until they had them in the back of long trucks with freezers in the back because they had to wait to bury them. They had so many, they showed it. How many saw it on TV? They showed transportation truck, the long truck with freezers in the back of it with caskets full waiting to bury. Man, and God brought me through this thing. See, it's not, you got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it fresh because you don't have to be here. Or you didn't have to be here. God let me live. See, that's why we dedicate this song. We wanted Fred Hawkins to be able to hear it. He's the one usually sing it, but my daughter sang this morning, "He's My Everything." Because we gotta understand. My wife will tell you, my sub pump go off. I don't care what time of night when I hear it, I thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I want to thank him all day and all night. I want him to know. I was praying for you this morning between 12 o'clock, just a little after 12, praying for you this morning. See, listen, this is my life. This is how I live. I'm so grateful that God left me here. See, I could have been dead. Could have been gone, man. But the Lord left me here. And I'm going to give him the praise and the glory every day of my life. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 8. All right, now watch what he says in verse 2. This is what he said to them in verse 2. Thou shalt remember. That's what he wanted them to do. God done that, Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness. Don't forget that. Then he told him why he did it. He did it, number one, to humble thee. And he did it to prove what was in their heart, whether they will keep his word or not. See, that's why God did it. He did all that for them because he wanted to know what was in their heart. And verse 3 says, and he humbled thee, and he suffered you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you didn't even know about. And then he says, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only. How many know you live by the word? And then he said, you live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. God was trying to bring them to a place to realize you got to learn how to live by the word. I'm not just giving you the word just to have a hallelujah good time service. This is how you going to live. And I'm talking about even eternally. Get a lot of great, another big hand. Now, the next verse I want to show you something. This is what God did for them. Now, this is an awesome verse here. I'm not going to take a chance whether I'm going to say it in Psalm 78, but I'm going to say it right here. Verse 4. That's what we're waiting on the screen. Psalm 7, Deuteronomy, 8 and 4. Let's read it. Thy raiment waxed not old upon you. Your clothes, listen, man, your clothes didn't even get old. We're talking about 40 years. Neither did your foot swell these 40 years. Do you understand? You walked in the wilderness. There was no highways to go. You were walking through the wilderness for 40 years. And your feet wouldn't even swell. Just think about it, man. You can come to church one service, you can't make it, man. You'd be putting your shoes off in church trying to cool them off. They kept the same shoes on for 40 years. Don't you know that feet had to grow? 40 years, and your foot did not even swell. You wore the same clothes for 40 years? Come on now. You got to give God some credit here. Now, Let's go to the next thing I got. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. Now, what you got to understand about John, John is the same man they gave you the book of Revelation. Now, what you want to understand now is John now, because God had John, the right John, after he got off the island of Patmos, he know Jesus came. Here, he's going to teach the gospel of John in the past tense. Will you read with me? John chapter 1. Now, everything's in the past tense. Start verse 1. Just go all the way back to verse 1. I was going to start at verse 14. I'm going to go all the way back to 1. I'm going to skip some, but I'm just going to do this. Read it. In the beginning was... Can you see everything past tense? John was with Jesus. He's one of his disciples. He's telling you what already happened. Just like when you read the book of Revelation, is people can read the gospel of John and believe it, read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and believe it, and get to the book of Revelation and say it's not done. Is that a hypocrite or what? How can you get one of his books that's not finished and the other finished? John wrote them all. All right? John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did he know? When you get to the book of 1 John, he'll tell you. We felt him. We touched him. All right. Verse number 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everything is in the past tense. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cometh in his night. Now, let's go down in the verse number 9. John was sent to bear witness of the light. So let's go to verse number 9. All right, here we go. Read. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, past tense, everything is past. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave, past tense, gave he power to become the sons of God. What did he give you? Power. He gave you power. I remember I told you what that word was, what the word power there was in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I told you to mark your Bible, Romans 8 and 9, what did he give you? Paul told you, if you don't have this, you're not God's son. So I always understand, I keep telling what to put there. Took me 30 years to find out what go there. But as many as received him, to them gave he the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 9, the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. He gave you the Spirit of Christ to become sons of God. Can't you see that now? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not his son. Romans 8 and 9, what you're supposed to put there. Even to them that believe on his name, that was them. Verse number 13, read. Which was born not of blood, read. I know it's easy, but I'm going to stay on you because this is something we're going to do this year. It's learn how to read. All right, we don't learn nothing. We're going to learn how to read. All right. Which was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Here we go. And the word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Watch this. He was what? He was full of grace and truth. What happened to that grace and truth? Keep reading. Don't answer it. Read it. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here we go. This is what happened to the grace. And of his fullness have we all received. We all have received it. See, you still don't think you have received it. When the word says you have, you're supposed to agree with the word. Let's read it again. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. What do you receive? Grace. You receive grace. You receive faith. I told you that in Romans chapter 12. I told you that God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. You receive faith. You receive grace. You see, you already received. You receive his love. But you got to understand what you have received and what you're supposed to do with it. The love is not for you. The faith is for you. The love is for me. The faith is for you. Say it with me. God's love
is
for my brother and sister.
God's faith
is for me.
Right.
So God gave you faith so you can live for God. God gave you love so you can live with me. Not for me, but with me. So when I'm not lovable, when I can't, when you can't get along with me, God gave you something for me. That's why the Bible said, oh, no man anything but to love one another. God gave you that for me. Now, it's an awesome thing when God gave you the love to give me and you won't give it to me. Shame, shame, shame. All right, verse 16, read it. John 1, 16. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So God gave us grace and truth. All right, now let's go to Genesis 18, 11. We on time. Here's our first take the limit off God. Genesis 18 and 11. The book of Genesis, chapter 18. Now, God has come into this man's life named Abraham. But he got to make sure he can work with Abraham. I'm going to show you in God's word that everything God going to do in your life, you must believe. I'll show you at the next service. He can't do nothing in your life unless you believe. And I know people think they're believing. There are a whole lot, I thought I was believing God. But when you believe God, you're going to start talking back to him. See, when you really believe God, you're going to start talking to God. And you're going to start talking. That's what Abraham did. Abraham believed God. He began to communicate with God. When God was about to go into destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, wait a minute, let me talk to you about that. You're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, are you? That being far from you. So you got to understand something. It brings you to a relationship with God where you begin to talk to God. You got a situation, you go to him personally and begin to talk to him. You let God know, I've been going through this long enough. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. It's time for you to do something about this. You told me to take the limit off. I don't have no limit. I need you to help me. See, you got to get personal with God. That's what your faith is for. You got to stop sitting around religiously and think it's just going to happen. It's not. You're going to be a part of this stuff. That's why he gave you the faith. To come into his face and talk to him personally. All right. Verse 14, I'm in 11. Let's start reading. We're in Genesis 18, 11. Read. Now Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed. Says she laughed. The word laughter really means unbelief. Because she really didn't know what to do. So she just laughed. She laughed within herself saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now I need you to read. I'm going to keep saying that because I know you all like me to minister to you. But I want you to read. Okay? All right. Now Abraham and Sarah was old, well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old, both of us old folk, and you telling us to have a child? See, she wasn't saying it out, but that's what she was thinking. God looks at the heart. Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which is old? He told her what she said. God called that laughter. Otherwise, you would not believe in what I'm telling you. And verse number 13. I'm sorry, verse 13 says, and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I'm assured to bear a child which is old? This is the verse 14. Read it with me now. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Say it. Come, I need you to read that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So that's what God said to Abraham. See, if she's laughing at what I'm saying I'm going to do, that means she does not believe I can do that. That's what unbelief does. Laugh in God's face. I said unbelief laughs in God's face. But when you got faith, you rejoice. You don't laugh in his face. You rejoice. And you're grateful. You're thankful. Here it is. Is anything too hard for God? Watch what God said. 9 months later, King James used the word at this appointed time. Otherwise, 9 months later, I will return to thee. I'll see you in 9 months. According to the time of life, with 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Sarah did not have a son by Abraham. That's what most people mess up at. Abraham, like she said, was too old to do it. I want to get to the meat of the problem. You're looking at the flesh to do it. It's not going to be done by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Just like it was with the other son that God had. When you see Isaac, you have to see Christ. Man wasn't going to do this. This is a God thing. That's why when he came to Mary, she said, well, how can I do this? I know not a man. See, that's what you got to understand. He put the word in her. And that's what you got to understand. That's why you sit in the word. Because what God want to do in your life is not going to be by might, not going to be by power, but it's going to be by his spirit. He's going to take his word that you're receiving in your heart. He's going to bring to pass what you believe in God for. Abraham couldn't do it. Abraham did not bring forth Isaac. God said, let me say it again. This is what God said. At the appointed time, I will return according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what brought him here. Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied and said, I didn't laugh, you know. For she was afraid and said, no, but you did laugh. Now let's go look at Hebrew 11 and 11. This is the last verse. Hebrew 11 and 11. She did laugh. I mean, he's saying you didn't believe me. That's all she's saying. See, when God tell you, you've been waiting on your miracle all this time, and then God have you to turn your TV on this service, and God tell you how you're going to get it. Here it is. Take the limit off God. You're not going to be able to figure this out. Your job is to just get in God's face and says, it's my time. You didn't hear what I said. You get in God's faith. That's what your faith is for. When Jesus came, he came and ended the time. He ended it. That's what you got to do. You've been suffering long enough now. It's time you to stand in the face of God with your faith and say, Lord, it's time. But that's what you got faith for. Don't tell me you can't do it. I went through it. You got to believe God. Hebrew 11 and 11. There we go. Read it with me. Through faith also Sarah herself, she received strength to conceive. You got to bring forth the blessing in your life, the healing in your life. You got to have the faith in your life to bring it forth. But my God shall supply. Yes, he shall do it. According to his riches and glory by Christ. Yes, it's going to happen by Christ. But you got to understand something. Ephesians told you, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Spirit of God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he cannot do it unless you believe. Your belief must be active 24 hours a day. Let me say it again. Your belief must be active 24 hours a day. You can't just believe when you feel like it. Here we go. Verse 11, one more time. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Stand upon your feet. You're supposed to let the Lord know you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful. Come on, get on your feet. Tell him that, Lord, you are faithful. Come on, clap your hand. Lord, you are faithful. Hallelujah. God not going to have you to believe in him and don't come through for you. Come on, give the Lord some praise. God is not going to allow you to believe in him for something and don't come through for you. You get in God's faith. You understand? Get up in his face and say, Lord, you are faithful. I will not turn loose until you bless me. I'm not going nowhere. You got to understand what Joseph did, what Jacob did. He wrestled with him all night and he told him, I will not turn you loose until you bless me. When you know what you have, you got faith, you believe in God, you got to do that with God. And look, my time is up, I tell you. We'll continue the next sermon. Hey, the door of faith is open unto you.